And thank you for joining us here on a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, as we take a look at some news headlines in agriculture here on today's program, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is a comprehensive tax cut package enacted in 2017. Dustin Shearer, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau, says it's important legislation for farmers and ranchers.
It lowered taxes for most individuals as well as most businesses of every size and type, including farms and ranches. The legislation is important for farmers and ranchers because 98% of their operations are organized as pass-throughs, and there were specific provisions included in the bill that benefit pass-through businesses, including the broader brackets and lower rates, the enhanced estate tax exemption, and the 199A qualified business income deduction that drives more rate parity between the top rates that small businesses pay and the 21% corporate rate.
A new Economic Research Service report shows that if the provisions expire, tax bills will increase for farmers and ranchers.
If nothing is done to extend them beyond 2025, farmers will face well over a $9 billion tax increase in 2026 between increased income tax liability and the increased estate tax liability. According to that report, the expiration of 199A alone would see certain farms' tax liability increase by up to 20%.
And Shearer says knowledge about your own personal tax liabilities is key when advocating for reauthorization of these provisions.
Arm yourself with information. Do some research or talk to your CPA to understand how these various provisions of the tax code are benefiting your operation and how your operation is utilizing the savings from the provisions enacted by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And once you do that, talk to your elected officials, tell them your personal story, and tell them what the consequences would be if these options went away. Educating elected officials with personal stories is the best advocacy there is.
And once again, that is Dustin Shearer with American Farm Bureau. Well, warmer than usual weather means grain damage is more likely. Charles Herberg, a grain management specialist with Iowa State University, says producers should keep an eye on what's going on in the bins because management is key.
When we have all this temperature variation, that means some parts of the bin will indeed go up and down in temperature, and you may have to turn on the fans a little bit more often and pay attention a little bit more than we would normally.
70 to 80 degree weather can cause stored corn to get blue eye mold, which causes grade damage just like rotten corn, and also will fail the sniff test.
By the time you smell it, you've got some damage in the corn somewhere. It probably won't be too bad, and you may be able to mix it and take the temperature down. You won't get rid of the damaged corn.
And blue eye mold is a discoloration down through the germ, more prominent with cracks. A way to prevent it is to keep the corn cold. Herberg points out a 40% dew point can let you push the temp below 50 degrees.
Watch for the dew point to decide when you might need to aerate the grain and get it back down to cold again. Cold's your friend.
But the best way to deal with grain damage is prevention. Herberg says watch for more susceptible corn, grain with low test weight or fines in it, and grain bin cores should have been taken out.
That might be time to pull another couple of loads out of a bin to take out a little bit more of that center plug. That's a good way to check the corn and at the same time see if you have some corn that might want to be moved. Coring this year will be a big issue. Because of the tendency to make fines.
The limits for damaged corn, including blue eye and number two corn, is 5%.
As long as the levels are 5% or less, it probably won't gain a discount. And the grain trade does this all the time. If some problem grain comes in and they have a whole lot of good corn, they may try to blend it down so that the average is still under the number two level. And as long as it is, then it'll go as the normal price.
And once again, that is Charles Herberg, grain management specialist with Iowa State University. Well, it was announced this past week that Tyson plans to shut down another food production facility, this time a pork production plant in Perry, Iowa. That plant has nearly 1,300 employees and kills about 8,000 head a day.
The market has not crumbled on this news, and that, to me, is supportive long-term.
That's Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting.
It's detrimental when you see a packing plant close to the local market, the community, you name it. And we probably are going to see a few others close, and I feel bad for that. But the industry on a whole is going to absorb this rather quickly, I believe, CJ.
Setzer believes other packing plants across the U.S. will quickly pick up the slack once the Tyson pork plant in Iowa shuts down.
We're starting to see packers move their new facilities, ramping up some facilities, and of course, the shackle speed at some of these plants has been bumped up as well. We've seen some guidelines eased a little bit, some restrictions, so we can put hogs through a little quicker. And the other one that we're looking at is hogs are just a little bit heavier.
Now, despite Tyson's decision to close that pork plant, Setzer adds that the USDA's recent WASDE report shows the forecasts for both pork production and pork exports have increased for 2024.
And when we go back to that WASDE report, the USDA average hog value for 2024 estimated at $60.75 per head. That is up $2.16 on the year. So the USDA, anyway, is a little bit more optimistic than some of the other data that we're showing that would be detrimental for hog values.
And again, that Tyson pork plant in Perry, Iowa, is expected to close sometime this summer. Well, the land market in March is certainly not as warm as this winter has been, according to Doug Hensley, the president of real estate services with Hertz Farm Management. He says the slow grind lower for corn and soybean prices has farmers around break-even cash flows this 2024 crop year. Looking at South America, he thinks there will be a lid on commodity prices as well as farmland values. Hensley says interest rates are also causing problems with the land market, especially comparing rates.
Historically speaking, our current interest rate environment is not out of whack or even high, but when we calculate land payments with a 7 to 8% rate versus those with a 4 to 5% rate that we were enjoying 2 years ago, the difference in those numbers adds up pretty quick.
Hensley says there is enough cash and liquidity, but also more selection going on. That means for the first time in several years, there looks to be pressure to the downside.
Across the market, there have already been several no sales from auctions that didn't perform quite the way some sellers had hoped. And while there's still plenty of capacity in the market to pop off a strong sale, just like we witnessed with the $29,600 an acre sale in Northwest Iowa here a couple of weeks ago in late February, those incredibly strong sales are likely to be the uncommon exceptions versus a rule in this changing market.
Hensley advises folks to watch for sales volume from neighborhood to neighborhood.
In those areas where little is sold, there's a natural potential for more strength in any upcoming sale that does occur because more local capital is still available to compete when something of quality comes to the public market. And in those areas where several farms have already sold, the potential for weakness is actually more likely for those opposite reasons.
And for the first time in a few years, Hensley says other sale methods will compete with public auctions. And that's why you should talk with a farmland professional. That's going to do it for American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.